Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
No, we're calling an audible on that one. We've got Thomas Kay on the phone. G'day, mate. How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. How's Auckland's water quality is the bigger question, I guess, at this point.
Well, the question is how's the nation's water quality, actually, and
right.
Unfortunately not too good.
I thought we were actually quite good on the, like globally. Are we, like, our water's pretty good. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, I think it's a misconception, really. I mean, it depends how you measure us, but, you know, you look at something like the Thames in London and you might think of all of New Zealand's rivers as being wonderful, but pretty much, you know, all the rivers and streams in our natural, pristine forested areas are really, really in good condition. But as soon as you get into any sort of developed areas, pretty much everything is polluted, you know, in at least one way that you look at it.
And it's obviously been quite a, would you say it's been like a fast happening, for lack of better words? Like, has this been a gradual, or is it sort of just wrapped up recently, or how does this work?
It's really been accelerated over the last couple of decades with the intensification of agriculture and urban development and things like that. So it's been a slow game to start with from New Zealand as we learnt to throw fertiliser on the land, but in the last sort of 20 years as we've added more and more cows, it's just accelerated.
Is there any going back, or have we just screwed it forever?
Well, hey, John. Hey. I think this is why we have these conversations, John.
There is going back. I mean, it's something that's pointed out in this recent report from the Ministry for the Environment about freshwater. That's called Our Freshwater 2020, actually. This report is basically that if we keep going the way that we're going, there are going to be some irreversible, potentially permanent changes, things like species extinctions, and it's really difficult to, like, get a lake back to good water quality after it's what's called flipped, so it's become eutrophic, like a lot of the Rotorua lakes have. That stuff's hard to undo, but if we can act before we get there, then there is hope.
Is it a case of just getting really serious about having those sort of bush perimeters around your waterways and stuff so it actually filtrates whatever crap is coming off the land? Like, that needs to be sort of implemented seriously, doesn't it? Or obviously, like, less intensive farming, but if, you know what I mean, what is it called, those things? What are they called?
So the riparian strips
there
and fencing.
Go. There you go.
Yeah. So it's a whole combination of things. That's one element. That stops sediment getting into streams. It stops stock walking through streams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it only stops sort of one of the components of pollution, and that's phosphorus that gets into waterways. It doesn't stop nitrogen from leaching down through the soils, and it doesn't necessarily stop some of the other chemicals and things like that. So it's got to be a combined approach, and we really need to be looking, particularly now with this kind of economic, or this opportunity to rebuild the economic system that we work within, to kind of rethink where we want to go in the future and how we farm and you know, what we do to our land and our country.
Is, like, I like to imagine that cannabis is kind of a home run. Is that sort of a viable replacement for putting cows on the land, putting, like, plants on the land? And you're probably still going to use fertilizers and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, it sort of depends. I think we don't want to look at one thing as being the solution to anything. It's got to be about sort of diverse systems, and, you know, there's lots of plants that we can plant that will do the job of fertilizer, that will pull nitrogen out of the air and put it into the soil, and then you plant something else over that, and that uses the nitrogen and grows. And having really diverse systems that have trees and different animals and different crops and all that kind of stuff is really where the solution lies. And you might have heard of the term regenerative agriculture, which is really about agriculture that focuses on the health of the soil and, sequestering carbon and all that kind of stuff. And that's the direction we want to go.
I think. Just regenerative, that word in general, I think.
We want a regenerative economy, right? We're pushing really hard at the moment for what we're calling a recovery for people and the planet, because, you know, as we come out of the public health crisis, we really want to be thinking, well, this has made us think really carefully about what we value, and the things that we value are actually, you know, we love getting outside and going for a walk at the beach or next to our local river or whatever, and we haven't been able to do that, and we love, you know, being in good health and spending time with people, and we don't, you know, all those things are so important. So it's about rebuilding the health of people and the planet, so that we kind of have this long-term future to look forward to.
Are there any sort of proposed regulations that have come out of this new report?
Yeah, so the government actually started cracking on with a set of regulations end of, well, probably a couple of years ago now, but they were really sort of end of last year. And they've just kind of been sitting around at the final stages of, you know, getting the T's crossed and all that, and they're all pretty much ready to go with government now, but there's been some calls to kind of delay them because of the COVID-19 crisis. But I think, if anything, this is a really key indicator of how important it is to protect human health from things like E. coli in the waterways and things like that, these diseases that we have issues with in New Zealand. So there's a set of regulations that are pretty much ready to go, and we just need Jacinda to tick them off and you know, bring them out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And has this massive drought sort of had serious implications for the fresh water quality, other than there being less water around?
Yeah, it's a hard one because you know, with climate change, we're going to see more and more of this, particularly in northern areas in the eastern parts of the country, in Hawke's Bay and Canterbury. In Hawke's Bay, we've seen lots of rivers dry up and eels die and things like that. And whenever you have the river level decrease, you know, any nutrients and things like that are left in the water, that water is easier to heat up in the sun, the temperature rises, the fish are more stressed, you get more algal growth. So you have all those kind of flow-on effects from having less water in the river. So not only you have less quantity there, but, you know, the poor-ish quality just, you know, exacerbates all these other issues. So it's definitely, you know, all these things are connected: the amount of water you've got, the quality of the water, the species that are there.
What? Yeah. Just curious about river sizes and like how they get, you know, obviously there's a lot of little nooks and crannies and creeks and whatnot. So what size does the government kind of care about? You know what I mean? Do they like, it must be hard for them to be on top of every little stream. You know, they must have
Yeah, we're one of those countries that, I mean, it's kind of like a coastline. We've got a huge coastline. We've also got a huge network of streams and rivers. We've got something like 70 major river catchments and, you know, hundreds of thousands of kilometres worth of streams and rivers in the country. And interestingly, it's the really small streams on farms and things, when you drive past and you can kind of see on a hillside where it looks like maybe water would flow if it rained, but there's none there at the moment. Those kind of little source areas are actually major contributors of pollution to the stream. So it's not necessarily the big main stem of the river that is that's the key issue. It's really that we want to be protecting all those little bits, and that's really hard because they're the bits that flow through the middle of the pasture or
that's why it has to be a sort of a full-on holistic approach, right? Because it's such a network, you know, like you can't see every little bit, but so that's why the whole practice needs to be kind of flipped on its head a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of our native species require every part of that network to kind of be working, to function. You know, whitebait, they're kind of born out at sea and they grow up and they make their way upstream and they get into those little side streams and they grow up and then they go back down to an estuary and they breed and then their eggs get washed out to sea. And if they lose any part of that, the estuary or their ocean component or that side stream gets dammed up, then part of their life cycle is impacted. And then, you know, we have less and less whitebait breeding and things like that, and that's kind of what we're seeing.
With the current COVID crisis, which is on at the moment, has there been any recovery of any of the waterways?
Yeah,
this is an interesting question because we think about, like, climate change at the moment. You know, we've had heaps of cars off the road, we've got less planes in the air, so we've got less CO2 emissions and things like that, and it's kind of giving the atmosphere a bit of a break. But with freshwater, it doesn't quite work the same, and unless anyone can point out some obvious thing that I'm missing. But we're all still flushing our toilets, we're still using showers and taps and all that kind of stuff, and everyone's still, you know, we've still got stock on the land, we're still farming.
So the
impact hasn't really changed that much. And unfortunately, there are some people out there who have used the lockdown opportunity when there are no council people going out and doing any compliance or monitoring or anything like that, means they can sort of get away with doing something that maybe they wouldn't have done otherwise. And it's a minority, but we've heard of it happening. So unfortunately, freshwater isn't getting the break that I guess that the climate has gotten through the lockdown.
Now, Tom from Forest and Bird, what is something you'd just like to tell the people if you could just get the chance regarding our streams and whatnot?
Something I could tell the people?
Like, what would you leave people with? Like, what can we do here in a big old city?
Yeah, it's a hard one in a city. I think there are all things. I mean, firstly, I've got to commend you for something you all probably do indirectly or directly, and that's paying your rates. And you know, you're contributing to stormwater and sewage infrastructure upgrades, and I'm sure you will feel that in your rent. So commend you for that, firstly, and know that you are taking action, just like all the farmers that say, look, we're taking action. Right. People in the urban environments are also taking action.
Oh, that's good. You should feel good about paying your rates, actually. Yeah, like, fuck yeah, man, you know?
Yeah, exactly, because you know, I know Auckland's had problems with swimming at your beaches, but you're going to get there if you keep doing what you're doing, so commend you for that. But, I mean, at the moment, like I said, there's this little box of regulations that's kind of ready to go, and it'll take time to implement, and if we can get government to bring that out this year, then that's going to make a huge difference for freshwater. So if people can, you know, message on Facebook the Minister for the Environment or Jacinda or whatever and just say, look, we know there's these regulations out there for freshwater and for whitebait actually as well, and you'd love to see them brought in. And the other thing is, not only that, but in this recovery, you know, we're talking about the budget this week coming out from central government. All the investment that needs to come out from government needs to be sustainable investment, things like regenerative agriculture, climate change resilience. So anything that listeners can do to flick a Facebook message or a tweet or whatever, the way of those decision makers in government just is a really positive action.
Kind of flip the consciousness, try and make
exactly,
it seem like
exactly,
everyone's...
keep the message coming through. And you're seeing it firsthand at the moment. You know, Auckland's seeing the worst conditions, I think, in about 25 years in terms of drought conditions. And if we can't sort of flip it around, then, yeah, we're going to see it more.
That's going to obviously... You can project that this situation is going to keep rising as well, like with the way the world's going with drought and whatnot. Like, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, it's just going to get more and more difficult, and we've got to just change the way that we do everything, basically, so that we can live within the limits of the environment.
I feel like now's the time. If it's going to be a time, this seems to be the time where everyone's pretty conscious of the way that we're living.
Yeah, now is the opportunity. Yeah. It's kind of this unfortunate reset in a way, and I'm a little bit nervous that we might just go back to the norm.
So I've got to get to Donald's as well and get McDonald's, you know, that kind of thing. Everyone's
exactly.
There's like, oh man, I want it to be good, but I'm also worried about people.
But it's like, yeah, this opportunity that we've got, you know, it's really unfortunate, but it has raised the importance of the environment and people's health for us, and we've got this opportunity now to put people back into jobs and investment back into sustainable things, and that's, you know, wetland restoration and fencing and rebuilding tracks and huts and all that stuff that was damaged in the storm down south, and stream restoration work. We can really build I guess this kind of dream-like economy out of the situation if we play our cards right, and that's what we really want to see, that recovery for people and the planet as we come out of this.
If anyone's interested, is there any information on the Forest and Bird website about this?
There is plenty of information on the Forest and Bird website. If they jump on the... Also, actually, I'd recommend the Forest and Bird Facebook page. Is probably... You know, Forest and Bird website's great if you want to jump on, donate, or you want to find something specific about, like, one of the sort of domains, I guess, you know, jump on the freshwater page or whatever. But if you want to see kind of what's going on and get involved in some influencing or anything like that, flick the Facebook page a message or jump on the Facebook page and see what we've been posting over the last couple of days.
Awesome.
Brilliant. Thomas, thank you so much, mate.
No worries, thank you.
Cool, bro. Take it easy.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.